This chazar is echnesh bechesu shvang v'yom yehuda masechtos suvos daf pei dal. The mishnah says Rav Shimon Gamliel omer v'chulo. Rav said halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not because of the reason that he gives. What does Rav mean by this? If he means that we paskin that he will inherit her, but not for Rav Shimon's reason, because his reason is that when someone stipulates to something that's contrary to halacha in the Torah, the stipulation is void, and Rav doesn't agree with that because he holds that the stipulation would not be void, and the reason Rav would hold that he still inherits her is because he holds that a husband inherits a wife only the rabbanon, and the rabbanon enacted that any stipulation to the contrary should be void. This can't be, because we find that Rav actually holds that a stipulation contrary to halacha would be void. It can't mean that halacha follows Rav Shimon that such a stipulation would be void, but does not follow his reason, which is that he holds that the husband will still inherit his wife, whereas Rav holds that he would not, because Rav should have said the reason of Rav Shimon is correct, but the halacha is not. It can't mean that halacha follows Rav Shimon that the husband inherits the wife, and his reason is that a stipulation contrary to the deraisa is void, but he would hold that a stipulation contrary to the rabbanon would not be void, and Rav says that even contrary to the rabbanon it would be void, because then Rav is agreeing with Rav Shimon. He's just adding that it's even void when contrary to the rabbanon. So for the Gemara, what Rav means to say is that the halacha follows Rav Shimon, who says that the husband will still inherit the wife. However, Rav Shimon's reason is that he inherits based on the deraisa, and therefore the stipulation is void. Whereas Rav's reason is that he only inherits based on the rabbanon, and the rabbanon enacted that the stipulation against their enactment should be void. We find that Rav explains the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan break in a way to mean that a husband inherits his wife based on a deraisa. He's explaining Rabbi Yochanan that way, but Rav himself holds that it's only a derabbanon. Zok the Mishnah, if a person dies and leaves over a wife, a creditor, and Yerushim, and he left over no real estate but did leave over other movable property that's in the hands of others, he had given it for safekeeping or had given a loan. Rabbi Tarfon says the assets should be given to the weakest among them. Rabbi Akiva says we don't show mercy in deciding proper law, rather we give the assets to the Yerushim because they're the only one from these three who collect without having to swear. Zok the Mishnah, if the man left over produce that was detached from the ground, whoever grabbed it first can keep it. If the wife grabbed more than the value of her ksuba, or if the creditor took more than his debt, regarding this extra amount, Rabbi Tarfon says the assets should be given to the weakest among them. Rabbi Akiva says we don't show mercy when deciding proper halacha, rather we give the assets to the Yerushim because they're the only ones of the three who collect without having to swear. For the next Gemara, why does the Mishnah have to give the case where the asset was given for safekeeping and the case where it was given as a loan? Whereas we would say if it was just given for safekeeping, maybe that's considered to be in the possession of the person who died, and therefore in the possession of the Yerushim, and therefore in that case where Rabbi Tarfon would agree that it's given to the Yerushim. But if we would only say in the case of the loan, we say maybe since a loan is meant to be spent, maybe Rabbi Akiva would agree that it's not in the possession of the estate and should therefore not be given to the Yerushim. Fechmer, what's meant when Rabbi Tarfon says that it should be given to the weakest? Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina, says it should be given to the one with the weakest form of proof, whoever has the later dated document. Rabbi Yechanan says it means that it should be given to the woman for her ksuba, so that women will want to get married by making them feel secure with their ksuba. Rabbi Yossi brings the same achleg between Rabbi Yom and Rabbi Lazar, respectively. The Mishnah said, "Niach Peres had Talushin." Why does Rabbi Akiva say, "Fechtigmar," that only the excess should be given to the Yerushim? Why not the entire amount? Mar says that's actually what he would hold. The reason he speaks in terms of excess is because that's where Rav Tarfon spoke in terms of. Fechtigmar, why does Rabbi Akiva hold that grabbing accomplishes absolutely nothing? Rav Neimer of Nachman said that he agrees that grabbing the assets helps during the lifetime of the father, not after. Fechtigmar, according to Rav Tarfon, who says that grabbing after his death is effective as well, where does the asset have to be lying for the grabbing to be effective? Rav and Shmuel say it's talking about lying in the shoes of Rav, but can't be lying even on the side street. Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish say it could even be lying on a side street. A dayan ruled in accordance with the Rav Tarfon. Rish Lakish had the decision reversed to follow the view of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yechanan said to Rish Lakish, by doing so, you've given the view of Rabbi Akiva the status of a deraisa. Although I would agree that the Lakish followed Rabbi Akiva, I would not say to reverse a decision to reflect that view. Maybe we consider Rish Lakish holds that if one passes contrary to a clear Mishnah, we reverse the ruling, and Rabbi Yechanan says that we do not do so. Mar says Machlek is maybe that Rabbi Yechanan holds we pass on like Rabbi Akiva when he's arguing on anyone but his Rebbe. And when he argues on his Rebbe, there is no clear rule whether we pass like him. Therefore, in this case, when he argues on his Rebbe, Rebbe Tarfon, it's not considered to be a clear mistake as if one passes like Rebbe Tarfon, and the Psak would therefore not be reversed. Rav Shlakish says that we always follow Rebbe Akiva, and the Psak is to the contrary is considered to be an error in clear violation of a Mishnah. Next, Taras Mora says, everyone agrees that we don't necessarily pass on Rabbi Akiva when he argues with his Rebbe. The Machloek is Rabbi Yechanan says Rabbi Tarfon was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Rosh Lakish says he was not. The third Taras, everyone agrees that he was not his Rebbe. Rosh Lakish holds that the rule is clear that we are to pass on Rabbi Akiva, and any psak to the contrary must therefore be reversed. Rabbi Yechanan says the rule is that we are to lean towards the view of Rabbi Akiva, but not to reverse the psak based on it. Mara says that the relatives of Rabbi Yochanan grabbed the cow of their debtor who had passed away that was in a side street. Rabbi Yochanan said they grabbed it properly and could keep the debt. They went to Rish Lakish, who told them that they have to return the cow per the view of Rabbi Akiva. They went back to Rabbi Yochanan and told him, nothing I can do because my equal has argued with me. Mara says the one who oversaw the animals of orphans had an axe grabbed from him by a creditor of the father. The creditor said he grabbed it when the father was still alive. The animal caretaker said it was grabbed after his death. Rav Nachman said, since there are no witnesses as to when the animal was seized, we believe the creditor, based on a migui that he could have said that he purchased it from the father. Rish Lakish said that the possession is no proof of ownership when it comes to possessions of animals. So how can he say that he purchased it based on the possession of the animal? Mara says that was only said regarding animals that are not guarded, like sheep and goats. However, an ox is always guarded, and as such, possession is a proof of ownership. Mara says a member of the Nasi's house once grabbed a maid of a debtor who had passed away, and this maid was in a side street. Bezin allowed him to keep it. Rabbi Abba told them, you must be doing this to flatter the Nasi, because we learned that Rish Lakish said you have to reverse a psak that was ruled like this. Yemar Bachoshu, who was once said the shliach to seize a boat for the debt that he had with the owner of the boat who had since died. The shliach met Rapapa, the son of Rav Huna, Rapapa and Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, who told him Rabbi Yochanan said that a shliach cannot be koine an item that is detrimental to other people, like in this case, where the seizure would prevent other creditors from being able to seize it. The shliach therefore did not go and seize the boat. However, Rapapa and Rav Huna, son of Rabbi Yeshua, who were also creditors of the person, then ran to seize the boat. Rapapa went onto the boat and rowed it, whereas Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, pulled the boat with the rope, each of them trying to do mashicha. Each felt that they were kind of the entire boat. They met Rav Pinchas Merami, who told them that Rav and Shmuel both said that seizing property like this is only effective when done from the Rishus Rav, and therefore this seizure is not effective at all. They said to him, we seized the boat among the raging river, which has a din of Rishus Rav. They then went to Rava, who told them that neither of them may keep the boat because we follow Rav Nachman, who passed on the Rabbi Akiva, that the seizure must be done during the lifetime of the debtor only.